Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. We welcome all in Jesus' precious name, and we pray that we'll receive a blessing this morning from God as we seek to bless Him. Different circumstances again this morning, and that's because the heating through in the church has worked, but not worked enough. So it's far better that we're through here. Move to the intimations. Tea and coffee after the service through in the small hall. A time just for fellowship and a time just to be together and chat and catch up. Guild starts on Tuesday, 1:30 in the hall here. And there's another guild one, and invitation given to guild members, family, friends in the congregation to annual tea coffee afternoon in an area of Macmillan Cancer Care on Tuesday, 25th September, and that's here in the hall from 1:30 p.m. There's a visitor's briefing for the stewardship campaign, a visitor's briefing information evening on Wednesday, 12th September at 7 o'clock in the small hall. If you know you're a visitor, you know that this is for you. And also for the stewardship campaign team, there's a brief meeting at the end of worship this morning. We've been doing a lot of talking through at the session about cupboards and storage, and so we're trying to find out who owns some of these wee cupboards through in the small hall. If you store any items or any of these cupboards, please speak to Arthur at the end of the service. And on Tuesday morning, 10:30 to 12:00, the High Kirk Halls, their coffee morning. We were going to that last year, and it's just a great wee time to share in fellowship, and then there's a time of worship and a time of blessing. Our dear on Wednesday, if the heating keeps up, walk together. That'll be the easy bit. The walk together starting at 11 o'clock at the main hall, and then followed by the get together. No, that was last week, wasn't it? Yes, I'm ahead of myself. I thought the get-together lunches had gone weekly, but they haven't. So that's the walk-together. And then Songs of Praise, 7 o'clock on the 16th September at Kirkgate and Park Churches together at Kirkgate. We're doing the shoebox appeal, and we're being asked to donate filled shoeboxes for Blythewood Care at the Harvest Service on the 23rd of September. And next week, important this, I've mentioned the heating. Heating down in Ardeer is not working at all. So it possibly could be working, but we can't take the chance. So on that basis, we're going to have a shared worship here at 10:30. Maybe in the church, maybe in the hall, who knows? But wait with excitement. I have another just a brief bit about next week. Douglas Crichton, who's a candidate in training for full-time ministry of Word and Sacrament, he'll be leading worship next week. And another couple of intimations for the 22nd of September. Now, elders, I said last week that I was going to have my breakfast down at Ardeer in the hall next Saturday the 15th, and inviting anyone who wants to come and join me to do that. However, I had overlooked one thing. Sammy, from Scott's friend from Africa, will be across again this year, and I arranged and forgot about. I said we'd do a prayer breakfast at Ardeer on the 22nd, and welcome Scott's friends from Africa to be with us then and to share with us, because they were in the church last year at this time and they sang through worship. So the chance to engage with them in a slightly different way. And lastly, the Stevenson Convention. This is the Bible weekend I've talked about previously, 25th, 26th, 27th of October. There's mission, leadership, discipleship. They'll happen in the two churches between 10:30, 7:30, and on the Saturday 10:30 and 7:30, and then on the Sunday would be a shared worship at 10:30, followed by going to the Highkirk halls to meet the Highkirk folk at 12, where we'll share lunch together and then close the weekend. Scott Cameron's put together a praise band with friends and family of his, so they'll be playing during the 3 days. There's no cost to the convention, but we will be looking for donations. But please bear that in mind. There'll be information coming out just very shortly, and I would ask you to share that with all your friends. This is just a chance to look at what Scripture says, and the centrality of the Bible. We stand to sing our introit, and again, as we did last week, let's just, if we can, remain standing. If you can't, that's fine, just stay seated. But we're going to sing as we're gathered. There'll be a call to worship, and then Majesty, brief prayer, and then Father God, I Wonder. Let's stand to worship. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me an understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Heavenly Father, we come and we praise you this morning. We bless you and seek your presence and your touch amongst us. Lord, be with us as we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we come and we sing your praises. We want to sing your praises forevermore. For you are our God, our Father. You are our Creator. And Father, this morning as we focus on you, help us to understand what it means to let go, to hold on to you. Help us to be able to focus our attention on you and all. And why? Because, Lord, you're the one who created us. You're the one who loves us first. You're the one that we come before to worship. We come here, Father, that from so many different circumstances, so many different ways. But, Lord, as we come to this place, maybe a place where we worship you together, where together we meet with you, where together we're inspired by your Spirit, where together we can focus on what you would have us do in this place, here in Stevenston, here in this parish. So, Father, as we worship and we praise you, enable us to sing your praises forevermore. But hear us now. Hear us now as we come before you, to confess our sins to you, the things that we've done which we shouldn't have done, the times we've spoken, and either we shouldn't have or we should have changed our words. All these times, Lord, when we've not followed you, we have not followed your commandments, not just the law of the letter, but the Spirit. We confess all these times to you, Lord, and we seek your forgiveness as we repent and turn to you. May we know what it is to be freed by your forgiveness, that forgiveness bought for us by Jesus Christ on the cross, his death and his resurrection, his ascension to be with you. And Lord, as your chosen people, hear us as we pray together. using the words that Jesus taught, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we come to the word then, it's from Mark 10 and verse 17. Wealth can be a barrier to entry into the kingdom of God, to inheritance of eternal life. People can put possessions before God, and they cannot gain entry themselves, for it is God who gives eternal life. Discipleship will be rewarded in heaven and will bring social and religious fellowship in this life. And we hear from the word of God now.
The rich and the kingdom of God. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked round and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first."
Amen. And may God add his blessing to this reading of his word, and to him be all glory, honour, and praise. Just before the service started, I put Andrew on the spot and asked him to come and just say a little bit about the stewardship campaign before we speak about the role of the visitors. Because we've not got you mic'd up, Andrew, you'll just have to shout.
Okay, I'll try and use my best teacher's voice or worst teacher's voice, depending on which way you look at it. The stewardship campaign, this is a process that's now been going on since near the beginning of the year. It's now beginning to reach its focus, and there's been a small group beating away. Nominally, I have been sort of leader of that group, but that's not the truth at all, because all I hope that we're doing the work. The purpose is obviously, first of all, to remind people of what we do in this church enables to happen through the use of our halls, through our stewardship, the groups come and use them all, will they? Am I going back to the church or not? But we need that to happen because of how we move that in the church, how we contribute to the church in time and in finance. The stewardship campaign this time, unashamedly, is going to have its focus on finance. And in a moment, the visitors, those who are going to issue the invitations to what is the focus of the stewardship campaign, the gathering, the visitors are going to have a commission. I would ask that the visitors are well received and welcomed when they come along. I would also ask that, obviously, the difference between the two membership of the church and the people who attend can be reasonably significant. So ask those that do attend when they have been visited. If you know other people in your district that maybe haven't been in the trial, do encourage them to come along to the gathering. What's the gathering going to do? Well, the gathering is going to have a display that shows the work of the different organisations that use our building. And to get a good idea, as I say, of what is sustained by our stewardship. So I would ask you both to be encouraged and to encourage and to come along to the gathering and enjoy the evening there. Thank you.
The job of the visitor is just to do that, is to visit those who are on the roll and give them information about what's happening on that gathering evening. It's an important time for the church. It's an important time where we can share what we've been doing. And as Andrew says, the focus is on money, and there's a specific reason for that. We have none. So, well, I'm going to go into that a wee bit later. But there is a specific reason for it focusing on money. So at the moment, I'm going to ask the visitors to stand, please. Those who have volunteered to be visitors, so if you would please stand, if you wish to. And what I'm going to do is we're going to pray for them, and I'm going to ask all who are not visitors to join in the prayer and pray for them. Pray that they are supported, and pray that God goes with them as they go around visiting. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, as we worship you this morning, we lift up those people standing now and those who might not have stood up, those people you've called for the task of visiting the membership of this congregation. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen them, that you would be with them as they prepare for that visit, as they prepare to speak with the members, and again as they leave again. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be with them and that we'd know your blessing in this, your calling on their lives. Father, we thank you for their commitment and their energy. And this we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Love divine, all loves excelling. Let's worship God.
Thank you.
appreciated. And we continue with our offering. As we come to give thanks and to present our offerings, dedicate them to God, there's also a prayer for others. And from the Presbytery Prayer Diary this week is the congregations of Whiting and Kildonan Bay and the Reverend Elizabeth Watson. And she's still convener of the Mission Committee at Presbytery. So to keep them in prayer. From Path of Renewal, especially praying for Eastwood Parish Church in Glasgow, the Reverend Jim Teasdale. Jim was minister at Dalry St Margaret's before he left a couple of years ago, I think it was, to go up to Glasgow. And he was speaking at Presbytery on Tuesday night. He is a convener of the Presbytery Planning Task Group for Ministries Council. So he's convening the group that actually are overseeing where the ministries are across all the presbyteries. A thankless task, a difficult task, because his group are going to have to make difficult decisions to make, but he's going to have really difficult decisions to make, particularly when we start to consider the drop in number of ministers that's been predicted and is coming. So to remember Jim Teasdale, in your prayer, and remember that task group as well from Ministry Council. They're going to have a tough time, as we all are, but they're the ones that actually make some of the decisions. From Crossreach, it's Caris House in Edinburgh, the head office of Crossreach, where the central services such as finance, human resources and senior management staff are all based. So just to keep all them in focus, let's take a moment to pray. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for you've called us to be here, called us, chosen us, elected us. We thank you, Lord, that we can meet together in this place and worship your name. We thank you, Lord, that we can be here to praise you. We thank you for all the opportunities you've given us in our lives, and thank you that in the harder times that we can find you there as well. Father, we pray for these congregations that I've spoken about. We pray for Elizabeth Watson, for Jim Teasdale. We pray for these committees. We pray for Crossreach. All the work, all the people that Crossreach reaches in your name. And Father, as we pray this morning, we pray for each one here, our left and our right, in front of us, behind us, for those in a different part of the building, for those who can't be here this morning, aren't here this morning, we pray too. Pray that they would know your touch in their lives. And Father, as we present this offering, a token of all that you've given us, we give back to you. As we present this offering, we dedicate ourselves once more to you. Lord, would you expand our territory? Would you enable encounters with people who don't know you? Maybe people who have come to this church before and have been away, walked away. Maybe, Lord, an encounter with them to encourage them back to your place here. And lastly, we pray, Lord, for the people that you've put in our hearts and in our minds. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you. Lord, we pray that you would remember all whom we remember and forget none that we forget. And you hear this prayer offered in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our hymn for the month, "All I Once Held Dear, Built My Life Upon, All This World Reveres and Was to Own." Let's just stand, because sometimes these intros can catch us. So let's just stand now. Heavenly Father, I turn to you. I ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus but your Spirit till rest upon every mind in this place, in order that their perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. I pray that I will be very, very clear, and that this will bring great honour and glory to your name. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So here's the question. Good teacher, asked the man, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? You know, that's a question that's on many people's lips. They may not be saying it exactly that way, but that's the question they're asking. It may come out as, there must be more to it than this. It might be, so what's it all about then? But actually the question is, how can I inherit eternal life? You know, this man approaches Jesus and says, good teacher, it's an approach of reverence which is not actually required in the circumstances, going a wee bit over the top. The disciples around would have known that, and Jesus would have known that. Why do you call me good? Only God is good. It was what Jesus said. And then he says, you know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, honour your father and mother. And he says, all these I've kept since I was a boy. And he's missing the point. Because these commandments that Jesus quoted are the kind of second half of the commandments, the bit that actually speaks about how we love our neighbour, we love someone else. But he knows these things and he doesn't do them, not out of anything else, but for the fact that these are the law. This is the law, this is what you're not supposed to do, and he doesn't do it. But he doesn't grasp the bit that comes first. That spiritual development bit that also many of us can miss, and it's the bit about loving God and focusing on Him. So Jesus says to him, one thing you lack. In fact, before I go there, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Right? Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus saw this man. Jesus saw who he is and was as he sees each one of us, and he looked and he loved and he knew that this man lacked one thing. But first and foremost, Jesus loved him. We see it elsewhere in Scripture where it says Jesus had compassion on the person. Jesus loved him. He saw him and he loved him because knew he was one of God's hurting people that's missed the point. Go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Went away sad because he had great wealth. Another of the Gospels, it describes the man as a rich man. That's what we've got here. Others call him a ruler, so he's got status as well. And Jesus is saying, give that all up. Once you've got rid of all that stuff, once you've got that focus out of your life, you'll see me. Come, follow me. But the man's problem is he's focused on his wealth. He's focused on his wealth. That stops everything else from happening because that's his focus. He has put his money first, and that's what he sees. J.C. Ryle, in one of his commentaries, says, "It's not so much in having money as the trusting in it which ruins the soul." This man had the money, and that in itself is not a sin, but was trusting in it. It was actually thinking, well, if I give this away, I'm not going to have anything. But he would have so much more instead. He would have the answer to his first question. How can I inherit eternal life? Well, the answer is in putting God first. That's as simple as it gets. Putting God first. Putting aside all the other things. We need them, yes. But don't put your trust in them. Put your trust in God. God's the one that can make the changes. Everything in God is possible. Everything for God is possible. But not possible for us. But focus. And too often, the world's focus is on anything but God. Whether it's the things that we want to have, whether it's the big house, whether it's the new car, whether it's all the... whatever it is, when we put our trust in these things, we've taken our trust from God. We've focused on anything else, and that's where the world is. Many ways, this is a call to repentance. To repent of that trust of money. To repent of the trust in anything that we put our trust in to turn back to God. It's a repentance. It's the start of a move to repent and believe. Because once we've got rid of the things that are in our eyes, we can start to see God properly and turn to him, to believe in him. This man's sin was not putting God first. And for us as well, there's things that we do where we don't put God first, where we give him not the first fruits, but what we think we can afford them, what we think we can give him, what we think is there, and we lack something then. We lack that very thing that we think we have, and that's able to follow God. I said earlier in the service that, maybe facetiously, we have no money. But that's the fact of the matter. We may have reserves tied up in fabric and all the rest of it, but we have no money. We don't have day-to-day giving. Sure, the last session, our balance was in credit. But only because of two significant incomes. One from gift aid. That's invaluable. Gift aid is invaluable. If you pay tax and you've not gift aided, please think about that. Because that extra money is invaluable. But we also took money out of reserves to bring out a balance. We cannot afford to carry on doing that. You'll have seen in the Livingston Herald, there is woodworm in the roof. A significant bill is coming. We're not in the church because the heating's not working properly. And yet in the first part of this year, this is now the only time that we've been in credit this year. The income doesn't match the expenditure. And I can tell you, we're not spending an awful lot of money on other things. The money we're spending is on things that keep this place open. That's it. I wish I had a lot of spend on mission stuff. but it's not there. We've been doing a lot, sure, messy church and bits and pieces, but you know, a lot of the time people are actually giving of their own to cover these things. This is why we need the stewardship campaign. This is why we need a stewardship campaign, because actually there are somewhere around 250 people who claim to be members of this congregation. And here we are. Okay? There's a slight imbalance in here. There's more of them out there than there is in here. Stewardship campaign is a way of actually getting in touch with people. But blatantly, this time, we have to ask people for money. We could go the soft route, talk about time, talk about talent. But that gets us nowhere but procrastination. And I can tell you that there's times when my mum would tell me I was the absolute get round to it. We can't get round to it. We've got to go for it. So, this is about money. There's no embarrassment about saying this, because it has to be. The reality is that if we were to go into vacancy now I'm going to reassure you, I have no plans for you going into vacancy. Okay? Just putting that up there right now. I have no plans for that. If that was to happen, there's a potential of the financial situation's not good enough for you to be able to call a minister. That's a potential. Without looking at anything else. So it's for me to point that out to you. God calls for first fruits. And we all made a commitment. When we became a member, we all stood and we promised to give of our time and our talents and our money. But actually the question here is, can you review that? As you see what we're going to be doing, as you see that gathering evening, come have a look and see what we're doing and think, can we review that? Because there's much more we could do. On Wednesday night, the elders were together and we had the minister from Glasgow who led us through various workings of where the church is now, where the elders would like it to be in 5 years' time, and what things could we do to move that forward. So there's a few decisions made there. But things need to have the money that go with it. Jesus says to the disciples, it's easier for the camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a man, rich man, to inherit eternal life. You know, we put so much into this, and there's people who've tried to work out exactly what it means. There's people who've spoken about there's a gate in Jerusalem called the needle, but it's too small for the camel to get through. It's as simple as this. A camel can't pass through the eye of a needle. Doesn't happen. Won't happen. A rich man cannot inherit eternal life. Won't happen. Rich man who's focused on his wealth will not inherit eternal life. Somebody who's rich on anything else but God will not inherit eternal life because their focus is not on God. They actually don't want that eternal life, really. And when we're talking about eternal life, we're talking about salvation. We're talking about entry to the kingdom. We're talking about salvation. And actually, we're talking about our own salvation right here and now. Because we don't have to die to get onto eternal life. We die to self. We die to our pride and our arrogance and our self. That's what it's about putting God first, about repenting, about turning. This week, if you're not a visitor, please pray for those visitors. If you're not a visitor, you will receive a visit. You will receive something. Pray about it. Hold it. Follow it. Think about it. Ask yourself what God is calling you to do. I've spoken before about the state of the Church of Scotland. And for me, there's only two choices. Really, at the end of the day, we either give up or we knuckle down. That's it. If we give up, we're giving up on God. Well, it's not worth it. We can't do this. We're finished. Well, we are. But actually, if we focus on what God wants, what he wants to give us. Remember that man. Jesus looked at the man and loved him. Even though Jesus knew he lacked something, that love wasn't for somebody who was just about to commit to Jesus completely. That was for somebody who was missing something. Please, please, remember that God loves you, calls you, loves you first. But actually, if we want a place here to worship, we need to put God first. That's why I've said about the prayer breakfast. I'm going to have breakfast on the third Sunday. This will be the fourth Sunday this month, but the third Sunday of the month, either down in Ardeer or up here. And people are to join me. They're welcome to join me. Please join me. Have some to eat, and then we'll talk about the Bible, and we'll have a time of prayer. That's it. But we have to lose something of ourselves. We have to lose our own pride, our own arrogance, our own self-belief. And we really need to think about what it is we need to let go of to hold on to God. Because if we're holding on to something else, our hands are full. And there's no way we can hold on to God if our hands are full. So I have to make that change. What is it that we need to let go of to hold on to God? What is it that we need to repent of to turn back to God? That almost circle shape where we repent and think of a new way forward with God, taking action as we believe. What are these things for us? For the man, he didn't make it. His wealth was too much for him. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? What must I let go of to hold on to God? Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. And Lord, would you lead us by your Spirit in thinking about these questions, praying for the stewardship campaign, for the future of this place. We praise you. You've called us to be here. Well, here I am, Lord. It's I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord. If you lead me, I will hold your people in my heart. Amen. I, the Lord of sea and sky, have heard my people cry. All who dwell in darkened sin, my hand will save. Let's stand to worship. Heavenly Father, be with us as we hold your people in our hearts. Lead us from this place to share your message, your love with your people. Enable us to share. Enable us to love. Enable us to shine your light in the darkness of this world. And be with us now as we leave. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with each one of us now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. Let there be love shared among us. Let there be love in our eyes.